It's the Troopany Show with your host, James Troopany.
Hello and welcome back to the Troopany Show. My name is James Troopany. This is my show, and today we are giving our year-end awards for Asia, and we're looking at wrestling in Japan and around that area for 2017, and we've got a lot of cool things to talk about, but you may be wondering where we have been, which we will explain in a moment, but let me first welcome my co-hosts and guests for today, Mr. Alexander Watt of the BBC. How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm okay. Slightly hungover, as we discussed off air, but I'm excited to attempt to round up all the stuff that's happened in Japan. Like, trying to talk about the best of Japan in 2017 is going to be an interesting task.
Yeah, definitely. There's been some cool stuff not just going on in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but around the wrestling world in Japan. It's been a bit of a growth year for most companies, really. But also to join me and discuss this is Mr. Alex Edwards of No Fixed Wrestling Abode. How are you, sir?
I'm good. It's good to be back. I think, is this the first one I've done since the G1?
Yes, it's been months.
Wow. So, yeah, there's been a lot that's happened since then, and a lot that's happened this year, so it's going to be hard to narrow everything down.
I presumed you'd gone on safari.
I mean, I wish it was that exciting, but unfortunately not.
Right then, well, we should explain the mystery of the disappearance of the Troopany Show for 2 or 3 weeks. And basically, we've been in negotiations with WrestleTalk.tv, and essentially, we are no longer with WrestleTalk.tv. But Ollie and the guys at WrestleTalk have been absolutely awesome to us, and they gave us the WrestleTalk Podcast Network SoundCloud account. We're going to be looking after the account from now on. It's going to be the Troopany Show account, and we're going to run a show every week, like we always have done, about wrestling from around the world. It's not going to change. We're not going to do anything different. It's a formula that works well for a couple of thousand people every week. We've got some new social media out there. You can follow us at The Troopany Show on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. There's a Facebook page that we've launched. And the one thing that's key is that we want to keep The Troopany Show free forever. So we've already launched a Patreon account. So if you would like to contribute to our work here at The Troopany Show and make sure that The Troopany Show stays free forever, you can do that by giving to our Patreon account, and that will help us with our running costs. Also, if you would like to sponsor the Troopany Show, if you're a wrestling-based business or any kind of business, really, we would really like to sell pies, you can sponsor us. You can sponsor us, and you can get in contact with us at thetroopanyshow@gmail.com via email if you would like to sponsor us and give us some money to keep this here show on the road and free forever, which is what we would like to do. So, housekeeping out the way, and I'll do that bit at the end, I'll edit this bit out. Housekeeping out the way, we will get on with the awards for Asia for 2017 in the wrestling industry from the Troopany Show. Now, the rules for this are quite simple. It's wrestling that's gone on in Asia, okay? Not necessarily Asian wrestlers, so we won't be talking about Asuka or Shinsuke Nakamura on this show. We're talking about people from All Japan, New Japan, Noah, the Sendai Girls, Stardom, all those kind of places. So
I'll just say there quickly, I find it funny that we say Asia instead of just Japan, because I don't know, what's the Chinese wrestling scene like, or the Indian wrestling scene, or
well, have you not been watching the North Korean wrestling scene this year?
Ooh, that's getting touchy.
Well, I mean, the Indian wrestling scene is not doing too badly. There's loads of local companies around in the local indie wrestling scene. And occasionally people like Sanjay Dutt go and put big tours of American indie wrestlers together. There was wrestling in Burma, I think, this year. I think, or maybe in last year, but certainly Sanjay Dutt was on that tour, because Sanjay Dutt's one of those guys that when he's not working for a big company has a tendency to just, I'm going to go and wrestle in Bengal. And goes and does things like that.
It's very Kota Ibushi of
it. It's even more Kota Ibushi than Kota Ibushi. I do know, obviously, Japan has been touring Singapore quite regularly for a long time now. And I think also that's the big question, is what's the next big market? Obviously, WWE put a lot of time into India this year with their current champion, Jinder Mahal.
He's
ex-champion Jinder Mahal. So it is the big market. And I've got a feeling that overall, I think New Japan's probably going to do better in places like China than, say, the WWE is, because, quite frankly, the people on the show look a lot more like Chinese people, because you tend to root for your cultural kind of roots, if you see what I mean. And certainly WWE is more likely to be successful in India than New Japan is, just because it's an English-speaking market. So I think you're right. We do say Asia because we tend to think continentally. And I was even thinking about opening this up to Australasia because some good stuff going on in Australia this year as well. Mm. So we do say like the top end of Japan because that's where the best wrestling in Asia or Australasia is. So that's kind of our area. But we do talk about these other territories from time to time and how they're really opening up markets for people in pro wrestling. So you're right to mention that, Alex. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it.
I'm just making sure we don't get the comments of, ah, well, you didn't talk about Hong Kong Wrestling Federation or whatever. They were doing great stuff this year.
I'm sure they were. You know, there's all sorts of, I mean, when we get to Europe, there's a company in Gothenburg called GBG. And I was doing some research about Charlie Morgan for an article this morning. She wrestled there. And it's like, GBG are absolutely awesome. I would love to go to a GBG show. It's basically this nightclub that's packed to the rafters with wrestling fans, and they're absolutely rabid for everything that goes on in front of them. And it's awesome. But, you know, we don't talk about it very much because it's just the local Gothenburg company. But they happen to be really, really good at what they do. You know, so it's interesting from my point of view how where we consider what we consider to be big and what we don't consider to be big and what's important and what's not important. But anyway, let us move on to our awards for this year. And our first award, we start at the top, Match of the Year. Now, I'm not going to mention mine until the boys have had their chance to speak, but there's been so many good matches in Japan this year that it has been really, really difficult to pick out one. But I think there's one that kind of stands above the rest for me. We'll start with Mr. Alex Edwards, though. What do you think, sir?
So, yeah, this was one where there's a lot of options for this one. It's crazy how many just amazing matches there have been this year. And sort of, it seemed like every month there was at least one, maybe even two or three matches. We could say, yeah, that's a Match of the Year contender. That's a Match of the Year contender. Every single month, especially over the summer with the G1, it was just... every show seemed to have something. But for this one, I'm going to the trilogy. The Omega Okada trilogy, which I think a lot of people are going to be pulling from for their Match of the Year this year. And as for which one I'm going to pick, I'm going right back to the start. I'm going to Omega versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom right back at the start of this year. That match just... honestly, it just blew me away when... I first watched it, and since then, their other two matches were also fantastic, but just the feeling of watching that for the first time, and the stuff they did in that match, and just, even now, you can go back to it, and it's still amazing, and I feel like it's going to be one of those matches that's going to live on, so 10 years in the, down the line, we can go back to it and be like, yeah, that's still a fantastic match, much like matches like Shawn Michaels and Undertaker from WrestleMania 25 or Rock and Austin from WrestleMania 17. It's one of those sort of legendary matches that you can always go back to. And so, yeah, my Match of the Year for this year is Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada from Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Okay then, Mr. Watt, what do you have to say to that?
Yes, well, I mean, 2017, how many times have we said it on various podcasts of like, possibly the best year for wrestling ever, from certainly from a Japanese standpoint, like New Japan in particular, like it was just getting ridiculous, like in terms of, like Alex said, every month it seemed like there was a new Match of the Year contender, and it wasn't like hyperbole, like the matches are unlike anything we've ever seen before, like they've raised the bar so high, like too high maybe some might say. Before, just done some honourable mentions, I think, worth mentioning Stardom's had a good year as well. Mayu Iwatani against Io Shirai from June was a very good match, which should get an honourable mention.
Definitely, yeah.
And then, yeah, New Japan, honourable mention-wise, I could mention about 100 matches, probably. like, love Kushida and Osprey from... it was the Super Juniors final, their best one, wasn't it? Which we said any other year, that's probably match of the year because it was so good. But in this year, it almost gets forgotten about because of ridiculous stuff around it. Okada and Shibata as well.
Yes, definitely.
Which is worth a mention despite Shibata injuring himself on that horrific headbutt. And yeah, Naito and Omega as well, which from the G1 final, which was, I think a lot of other people might have as their match of the year, because that was unbelievable. but yeah, I'm going to go from the Okada-Omega trilogy as well. Awkwardly, Alex has stolen a lot of what I was going to say and my thinking for this answer. First of all, best trilogy ever, in my opinion. Yes, better than Flair and Steamboat, and I know how that some people have taken umbrage with that, but I think the way they've told the story over the three matches, when they didn't even really intend for it to be a trilogy initially, it was just the hype that came from the first one, meant that they had to go back to it in June. Yeah, and like the way they built the excitement for the final, like the third match, like I remember staying unspoiled on the third match, like me and my friend were like so excited about watching it. We were like, we're going to stay unspoiled and we're going to, you know, watch it not knowing what's going to happen, which I can't remember the last time I felt like that excited to watch a match. So yeah, any of the three could be match of the year, but same thinking as Alex, I've gone for the first one from Wrestle Kingdom, because I think the second match is maybe technically better. The draw they had at Dominion, but similar to Alex, like the way I felt watching that first match and how it absolutely blew me away, and I knew watching it how I was watching like history and something special and a match that we were going to be talking about for years and years, and kind of it set the benchmark basically for what the year has been in New Japan. I think everyone knew it was going to be amazing, but I don't think anyone was ready for just how unbelievable that was. And obviously it then broke the internet and broke Dave Meltzer's star system and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, like I say, any of the three you could go for, but I'm leaning towards the first one for match of the year.
Okay, then. Well, I can't disagree with you guys. My match of the year is Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega from Wrestle Kingdom 11 on January the 4th, and we kind of like were joking about it when we saw it, is like, are we going to see anything better all year? And I truly believe we didn't. I loved the hour-long draw. I thought it was the best thing they could do to tell the story and continue the feud and keep interest going. Their match at the G1 was perfect. It was absolutely great to see what they could do to complete the story within this trilogy and still keep Okada strong and as champion. But that first match was mind-blowing. You know, we've talked a lot this year in the Beginner's Guide to Japanese Wrestling about that All Japan women's style, you know, as we've gone through these matches. And this is the first time the men have really caught up with that level of risk-taking, drawing ability, top yourself each time you go out kind of wrestling that we haven't seen in 30 years. This is getting on that level, and I just absolutely adored that match. I can't say enough about this match. And you're right, it was like I went into it unspoiled as well, to try and watch it as best as I possibly could, live as I could, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. Now, that's not to say there hasn't been great wrestling elsewhere. There's been some good matches in All Japan Pro Wrestling this year. They've really tried to up their game as far as match quality is concerned, so that they can try and be a bigger draw. There's been some great stuff, as you said, Alex, in Stardom. There's been some really, really cool stuff in Sendai Girls over the last 2 years, in fact, as they're steadily building themselves up to being the biggest company in Joshi. Oz Academy's had a really, really good year for match quality as well. So yeah, it's been a very, very good year for wrestling in general, and there's been some incredible matches in the heavyweight division, but even in the junior heavyweight division, Tanahashi and Kushida was just an absolutely mind-blowing series of matches. The other trilogy of this year, which is probably going to get forgotten about a wee bit in comparison to what happened in the heavyweight division, but I can't complain with Okada versus Omega. You're right, it's Flair Steamboat. It's all Dynamite and Tiger Mask. It's all what those great feuds epitomized, and it's all what is going on within the wrestling industry today. the idea of like Omega and the Young Bucks, the Elite, then their promotional style matched up with Okada's perfect wrestling style. Chaos versus Bullet Club, the never-ending story, is just brilliant. And I love this match. And I have no problems with naming it as my match of the year.
Mm, that's a rare agreement across the board there. Don't remember the last time that happened.
It'd be interesting if we could talk to Cy Marcus and Chelsea and see if they have the same opinions to us. Unfortunately, we couldn't get them all on the same show today. We're going to try that for next week when we look at Europe and North America. But yeah, definitely a fantastic match. And yeah, like I said, we rarely at the year-end awards all come up with the same answer. And I wonder if it's going to be the same answer in the next category, which I don't think it will be. Our next category is Wrestler of the Year. Mr. Alex Watt, it is your turn. Who do you believe is your Wrestler of the Year for Asia in 2017?
First of all, there's only really three options, in my opinion, although we'll see if you guys agree. Quick honourable mentions, I mentioned Mayu Iwatani from Stardom, who kind of defined herself as the ace of the company this year. It was a shame that she picked up the injury. Worked out great for Toni Storm, though, to be fair, but yeah. I think she really stood out in Joshi this year. You mentioned Hiromu and Kushida. I think they should both have good shouts. I think in any other year, like you say, the trilogy they had and the story they told and the matches they were having with each other and with everyone else in New Japan were incredible. But really, the three who stood out are obviously Tetsuya Naito, Kenny Omega, which a lot of people will pick Kenny Omega, and the only reason I'm going for Kazuchika Okada as Wrestler of the Year is because he's been doing it as champion. And there's not really a wrong answer between those two because of the output they've both been putting on. But I think Okada's carved this out as quite possibly the greatest world title reign ever because of the story that's been told over this extended title reign. The fact he's having classics left, right and centre, not just with Omega, but with everyone he's faced. He always brings the best out in his opponents. The closing stretches of his matches are the best possibly ever, certainly the best in the industry at the moment. And yeah, he's just broken every record. And from, you know, a drawing perspective, as well as an in-ring perspective, he basically ticks all the boxes. And the fact that Pro Wrestling Illustrated even gave him Wrestler of the Year says it all, because you know everything they normally take into account for that, and he's the I think I'm right in saying he's the first Japanese guy to ever top that list.
Yeah, he is. And a lot of that comes down to the fact that New Japan is now so much more accessible in North America. And I was one of the editors of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, who was actually on the Jim Ross show, the JR show, Ross Report on Podcast One. And I was listening to him explain how they pick the number one for the PWI 500. And he said, basically, he said, we've had no dominant champion in TNA, we've had no dominant champion in WWE, no dominant champion in Ring of Honor. The only guy who's been head and shoulders above everybody else in the world is Kazuchika Okada, and you can't argue with what he's done.
Yeah, and like you say, he's basically everything you want for a Wrestler of the Year. He's ticked the boxes of being the top guy, representing the company as the champion, having great matches, bringing out the best in everyone else. Yeah, he's pretty good. Like, and he's, I mean, how old is he now? Has he finally hit 30? Or is he still under 30?
I think he's still about, he's only 29, I think.
Yeah.
It's sickening, isn't it? Like, he's not even 30 and he's this good already.
Could have another 15 years of this.
This is the thing, like, arguably he's not even the best he could be. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, yeah, give it time and he may even get even better. Mr. Edwards, what are your thoughts on Wrestler of the Year?
Well, it looks like it's happening because Alex basically just took everything I was going to say.
I thought you were going to go for Omega, you know.
No, so honorable mentions to Omega, Naito, Hiromu and Kushida, like you said. All of those guys had fantastic years, and I think Naito and Omega, as you said, come as that sort of second and third place. Just because the matches they've had have been fantastic, the stories they've been involved in have been really good, and especially building up to Wrestle Kingdom, this next one, with Naito and Okada in the main event, and then Omega and Jericho, which we haven't spoken about that yet. That's crazy. So those guys have had some fantastic matches, and obviously Omega has been involved in a lot of my sort of contenders for the best match of the year, including my match of the year. But Okada has just, as you said, he's been a step above everybody else from any way you look at it, whether you look at it from a sort of a kayfabe point of view, where he's been dominant champion for over a year, he went on a year-long undefeated streak, and he's just been dominant over everyone he's faced. And then from a sort of work rate point of view, he's been having fantastic matches every single time he goes out there. He's been performing sort of at the highest level on the card. He's been in high-level matches with high-level people and always delivered. He's just everything you could want in a wrestler, in a champion, is there with Kazuchika Okada. And so I don't think there is anyone else you could pick as your Wrestler of the Year other than him.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with my honourable mentions first. Obviously, I think Hiromu Tanahashi and Kushida have been absolutely fantastic this year. Again, Naito, Kenny Omega, you can't really say enough about what they've done. They've been exemplary, and in any other year they would have walked this award. In Joshi, I have to, as Alex mentioned, Mayu Iwatani has had a fantastic year considering the fact she was supposed to retire in July. Chihiro Hashimoto in Sendai Girls has been an incredibly worthy champion.
Hiromu Matsumoto,
who's been in a Sendai Girls World Champion, has had an incredible year as an independent. I think she had a 10th anniversary this year for the Lady Destroyer. She revamped her gimmick, came up as a monster heel, and she's been absolutely amazing. I've really loved her work. But for me, the Wrestler of the Year has to be Kazuchika Okada. And he's been the IWGP Heavyweight Champion for a long time. He's done a fantastic job as that champion. He's represented the company. And he's managed to see the company through a growth period that enabled them to go and run two shows in America, as well as their usual Ring of Honor tour, as well as their usual RPW tour. In fact, they've been to London twice this year and great big crowds whilst they're there. And New Japan Pro Wrestling is the hottest company in the world, again. And it's doing amazing things. And you only get good when your aces are working for you the way they need to work for you. And the three aces of the company, Naito, Omega, and Okada, are clicking on all cylinders. It just happens to be that Okada is just that little bit better than the rest of them at the moment. And I love the guy. And, you know, all right, I'm a Chaos fan, so therefore I am going to be biased. But on this one, I think it's absolutely right. And again, we've agreed on the awards. For this is the first time in like 3 years of doing this. This is the first time we've agreed on two awards in a row.
I am a little bit surprised there. I wasn't sure everyone would pick Okada, even though, of course, it is the correct answer. So, longest reigning IWGP champ ever as well. I don't know if any of us mentioned that.
And most defense, not quite most defenses yet, but nearly on its way there.
Mm.
Yeah, I think if he successfully defends against Naito at Wrestle Kingdom, he'll be the greatest IWGP heavyweight champion of all time. Counts.
I think he is now, I have to say.
Well, there's a lot of names that you're throwing about there, like Fujinami and Vader and Scott Norton and Hashimoto and Muto and Chiono, and we're talking about him in that kind of same breath now, aren't we? So, right then, third award is Tag Team of the Year. Alex Edwards, your turn to go first.
So, this is one I had a little bit of trouble with, actually, because
they've all been rubbish.
No. Well, in years past, that has unfortunately been sort of the case, hasn't it? Where the tag team division in, well, I'll say now, the company from Japan that I watch the most is New Japan, and so I'm a little bit biased towards them for most of these awards. Mm. So when it comes to tag team wrestling in New Japan, the last few years, it's seen a bit of a dip, and it hasn't been the best. It's sort of just been that thing that's on the card still while we focus on everything else. And so the trouble I had was thinking back to past years, a lot of the time you'd be sort of stuck for anyone who did anything of any note. This year, it was better. I think tag team wrestling this year has been better in New Japan, and we've seen a lot of really good matches and really good teams come out of it. And so I'll do my honorable mentions first to, I think Roppongi 3K have been a really nice addition to the junior tag division. I think those guys have been really good, and it's really good to see them back in a big role. War Machine, I think, were a fantastic addition to New Japan. And I've really had, I think they fit for a Japanese audience. They're just big guys to beat the hell out of people, and that really works, especially in this promotion. And I have to mention Taguchi Japan, just because they're just fantastic. They're just, specifically the team of Taguchi himself and Ricochet, they had some fantastic matches earlier this year and were just really fun to watch. But my tag team of the year goes to, and this might be surprising for me if you know, if you've been listening for a while and you know my opinion on these guys, but my tag team of the year is the Young Bucks. I've turned on the Young Bucks this year. I've actually become a bit of a fan of them. I think I get it now. I can see why people enjoy them so much, and I can see why they are so successful and why they are so sort of well regarded by everyone. They've had fantastic matches. Their characters, I think, have really, I don't know if it's just with me that it's come into its own, or if that's been a thing for everyone and they've just sort of, they've perfected what they've done a bit more this year. But yeah, just consistently, they're having great matches and they're fun to watch. And even following them, watching like Being the Elite and things like that, they're just, I don't know how much of that is character based and how much of that is just them, but it's just, they're fun and it's enjoyable to watch them. And so yeah, my tag team of the year is the Young Bucks.
Wow.
Yeah, never thought we'd see the day.
Is that hell freezing over? I see in the distance.
Well, we've not quite got Michael Elgin as my wrestler of the year yet, so we're not quite there yet.
Okay then, Mr. Watt, what do you say to that?
Well, besides the shock there, but honourable mentions, I've got a lot of similar stuff to what Alex said. War Machine have been great for the heavyweight division in New Japan. I think Roppongi 3K, like Alex said, have been a great addition. It's cool to see them. It's also cool to see how much stock has been put in them so early, because they were obviously really popular when they were young boys and did good stuff in Ring of Honor on Excursion. So it was nice to see them come in with hype and get the rocket put behind them straight away. Taguchi and Ricochet, yeah, I really enjoyed their tag team. I'm still never getting over the ass attacks from Taguchi, but I'm willing to overlook it, because they were very good and very entertaining, and they did put on a lot of good matches.
So you need to watch more Hikaru Shida. She knows what she's doing with a hip attack.
Oh, it's much better in Joshi. Hip attacks. Always. One Alex didn't mention as an honourable mention is the original Roppongi Vice, who I think, although they split up around the middle of the year, had a great run in terms of the culmination of that storyline at Wrestle Kingdom, where it seemed like they were teasing the breakup and then it didn't happen. They worked together and won the belts, and there's a nice little story being told throughout this year with Roppongi Vice, and then they eventually called it a day during the US tour. Wasn't expecting to agree with Alex Edwards on this one, but yeah, it's the Young Bucks for me as well, which is, I don't know if it's bad that I'm just giving it to the Young Bucks again, like I have probably for the past 2 years, but they've been the talk of the industry again all year. They've continued to put out great work in Japan consistently, having great matches all the time. The Being the Elite stuff is awesome. They're one of the main teams, really them and Omega, the people getting those American eyes on New Japan, as well as obviously all the great matches that are being put on, but I think they've really helped them to expand into America. And without them and Omega, because from what they've said, they were a big part of sort of Jericho deal, and they've been a big part of kind of coming up from what I understand, from what they all said on Cabana's podcast, they all work together and come up with ideas. So you can probably even credit them with how good Omega and Okada has been as well. They've obviously had a hand in it. So, yeah, just another amazing year for those guys.
Yeah, them and Cody were scouting halls for the next New Japan show, so they were looking at a 10,000-seater this week. They were posting it on Twitter.
Of course, yeah, that's the next big thing they're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, they want 10 grand in California, which I can't see them not doing. You know, they can do that as well. If they do it one night instead of two, I think they'll do it. In fact, to be honest, I think they might be able to do it for two nights. So they sold those tickets out like snot last time, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't put anything past those guys now. And yeah, if they're merch machines as well.
Right then, tag team of the year. Well, for me, it was a bit of a tricky one as well. I could agree with you on the books. They have had great matches, but they haven't been as strong a presence in Japan as they have been in past years. I do like Sho and Yo a lot. I think Rafungi 3K have an awful lot of potential behind them. Taguchi Japan, just in general, everything they've done this year has been fantastic. All of their 6-man, 10-man, multi-man matches, I just love those guys. They're absolutely amazing. And also outside of New Japan Pro Wrestling, I've really liked the work of Dash Chikisaw and Keiru in Sendai Girls, because Dash Chikisaw's regular partner, her sister, retired last year to get married, and she got Keiru as her new tag team partner. And Keiru is awesome because she's about 48 years old. She's still got the best moonsault in wrestling, and she just throws pieces of chipboard at people until they give up. That's basically what she does, and I think that's just fantastic. I also wanted to give an honourable mention to Killer Elite Squad this year for their stratospheric comeback, and just for Lance Archer's brilliant promo when they came back at, I think it was New Beginnings, wasn't it? "We're back, now everybody dies." I thought that could be my favourite.
I think with them, it was just a shame that the injury happened that kind of stalled their momentum.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to go a bit different this year, and I'm actually going to say Los Ignorables de Japón, never openweight trios champions. That feud has, with who everybody for the year, has kept me thoroughly entertained, and I think they've been the most consistent tag team performers this year in Japan. So slightly different to you guys this time. I disagree.
I feel like you're cheating slightly.
Yeah,
here.
I was going to say that I didn't even consider 6-man tag teams. If
they're a tag team, aren't they? They tag in and out.
Oh, you've messed with the system here, James. I think just to have someone different to say.
You can't say the same things all the time. My brain starts to melt.
Look, I love LIJ, you know. So if that was an option, I might have gone for them too.
Yeah,
so
I think we would have had another hat trick if I'd known that you're eligible. Then,
all right, we've got two things. You can either make me pick a tag team, or you can open it up to trios teams as well.
Can't we just moan about it?
All right, then you can hate me
because now we have to make a decision between the two, and that's too tricky.
All right, then, we'll move on to the next award, which is Feud of the Year. There's been some really interesting ones this year, some fantastic ones. There's some obvious ones, there's some less obvious ones. So, we'll start with Alex Edwards. What do you think for your Feud of the Year, sir?
So, shout out to Naito and Okada. That's been something that's, you know, it's been going for a couple of years now, and it's remained good. And I'm excited to see that match at Wrestle Kingdom. Shout out to Hiromu and Kushida. I think that was fantastic feud with a lot of great matches in there. But I am just going to have to go back to the trilogy, and I'm going to have to go back to Okada and Omega. I think just with the level of matches they put out and the story told across the three matches, it's as Alex was saying earlier, greatest trilogy of all time, better than Flair Steamboat, better than Rock Austin. It's just been absolutely fantastic to watch, and I don't think you can, when you look at just the matches that they've been and the story told across the three of them and the consistency across the three of them, little callbacks to past spots and stuff like that, I think those guys have just, they've been a step above everybody else this year. So Okada versus Omega.
They have just been absolutely fantastic. Alex, what do you think of Feud of the Year? What's your choices? Though I've got a feeling it might be somewhat similar.
Do you think? what would give you that impression? Yeah, I mean, in terms of honourable mentions, Naito Khan is a really good shout, actually, because it's been bubbling under the surface all year, and they've kept the story going in preparation for the January match. Hiromu Kishida is obviously a good, in any other year, could have been feud the year. I really like the story they were telling through that, and how Kushida had to kind of find his dark side to beat this guy. Also, the fact that they threw in Hiromu beating him in like 4 minutes or whatever it was, which no one saw coming, and was a really clever little swerve that they threw in. Naito Tanahashi as well. Again, in another year, would have been more talked about, I think, because they've been putting on great matches and have had that great story of how they're basically polar opposites going throughout the year. Also, can we give a shout to Bad Luck Farley and Daryl the Cat? best feuds of the year, with an actual murder involved and coming back from the dead. So,
a resurrection story of the highest order.
Exactly. Yeah. Would you say it's the greatest resurrection story of all time?
I think you got to talk Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at some point.
Yeah. It basically is the HBK Undertaker of our time.
So you're saying Daryl is The Undertaker?
Well, yeah.
Comes back from the dead, doesn't he?
Yeah, Daryl the Cat and The Undertaker are basically peas in a pod, is what we're saying on this podcast. The other one I was going to throw in as an honourable mention is Bullet Club against WWE, which has been kind of... it basically is a feud, though, isn't it?
Like, basically it is, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, it's kind of been a joking thing as part of a storyline that they've heard, been doing on... Sorry, go on.
Have you heard what happened this week?
Go on.
This is a subtle one, but the guys who make the WWE 2K18 computer game actually put the Meltzer driver into the game. And they got Michael Cole to call it a Meltzer driver when he was doing his commentary sections for it.
Wow.
But didn't they... So, what I saw from it was, the Young Bucks' response to it was, they got the name wrong, and actually the move they included was the Indie-taker, not the Meltzer driver.
Oh, yeah, because I guess it doesn't have the 450 in, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
And there was all talk, wasn't there, talk that the game actually asked them to like mocap moves and stuff like that?
Well, it's good money. Mocapping's like, you know, Colt Cabana did it for years. It's good money.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We kind of got off the subject there. Carry on, sorry.
But yeah,
I'll just say quickly as well. I like that with the Bullet Club WWE thing, we actually now at Wrestle Kingdom we're sort of getting a blow off match for it with Jericho coming in. In a way, representing WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny how, obviously, it started as kind of them joking around and doing storylines of being the Elite, and then WWE actually kind of got angry and sent them the cease and desist and stuff. And typical Bucks, which you didn't mention in the Tag Team of the Year thing, which is worth a mention, immediately just came up with merchandise to make more money off the back of that, which... I saw an interview with all three of them, the Bucks and Omega, and Matt Jackson was like, he got halfway through like the letter, the cease and desist letter, and was already like, we're going to make so much merchandise money from this. shows what savvy businessmen they are, I suppose. But yeah, we got slightly off track there, but feud of the year is obviously Okada Omega as well. Yeah, not really sure what else I can add to what I've already said. It's best trilogy of the year. It's been the talk of the wrestling industry all year. They've had three of the best matches we've ever seen. And it's got so many more fresh eyes on the product. It basically, everything you want from a great feud, it's ticked those boxes. So, yeah, Okada and Omega is a step above every other feud this year.
Right then. Well, feud of the year. What am I going to pick? Well, yeah, I mean, there has been, let's going outside of New Japan Pro Wrestling, there have been some other great feuds as well. There's been Chihiro Hashimoto versus Hiroi Masumoto in Sendai Girls over the Sendai Girls World Championship. There's been some other stuff going on in All Japan. There's been other stuff going on in Joshi. Basically, Io Shirai versus Mayu Iwatani, was since she came back, and Queen's Quest versus Ode Tai. You've had as well in. I had an idea in my head, then it just flopped out. Flump. Cassandra Miyagi in Sendai Girls versus everybody, because she hates everyone and refuses to tag with her own tag partner, Heidi Katrina. So she just like gets in the ring and tries to do it all by herself. That's been hilarious, and Cassandra Miyagi is going to be a big, big star. She's absolutely awesome. But you get back to New Japan, and it basically falls down to Hiromu Takahashi versus Kushida, which is, again, the brilliant trilogy they had. But you can't not argue with Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. It has been absolutely brilliant. It is the biggest feud we have seen in 20 years. It's the best wrestling we've seen in men's wrestling ever, I think. I don't think we've seen matches this good. And it draws money. You know, people old schoolers will say, well, yeah, you can have all the fancy gymnastics you want, so if it doesn't draw money, it doesn't matter. But they've been doing all that, and they've been drawing money. The company is bigger now than it was a year ago. They've done their job. And on that count alone, you have to say that Omega versus Okada has been absolutely fantastic. You know, it was a couple of years ago, all three of us were very worried what was going to happen when AJ Styles and Nakamura left the main event picture in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we found out it was actually probably the best thing that's happened to New Japan Pro Wrestling since Shinya Hashimoto left the dojo.
It's true. Just the growth they've seen since they left has been insane. And we've constantly spoken about how we're interested to see what happens with the expansion into the US and, well, global expansion, I guess, into Europe as well. But it's all stemmed from that one moment where we all thought, oh no, New Japan's really in trouble. What's going to happen? Three of their biggest guys have gone, or four of their biggest guys have gone. We were really worried, and it turned out to be maybe the best thing that ever happened to them.
It shows, like, because they gave Naito and Omega the ball, and both of them have run with it. So, like, credit to both those guys as well. Credit to Gedo and Jado for putting the faith in them as well, to, you know, giving them those opportunities.
Yeah, here is our multi-million-dollar company, now carry it for us.
Yeah.
And I'm not being funny, but that's chances neither of them to get anywhere else. You could say Okada, if Okada decided to jack it all in and go work for All Japan, yes, obviously he would. But, you know, generally speaking, he couldn't do that if he went to WWE. You know, if they stumped up the money to get him, what would they do with him? It would be an insult to him to send him to NXT. You know, he's the biggest draw in the world outside of, I don't know, biggest draw in the world outside of Brock Lesnar. You know, as an individual wrestler. So why would you start over when you're earning $3 or $4 million a year anyway? So, anyway, but yes, feud of the year. So we move on to the next award, which is promotion of the year. Alex Watt, your turn to go first on this.
I mean, we've probably mentioned the honourable mentions that keep coming up. All Japan have had good years, Stardom, Sendai Girls. It's New Japan, though, obviously, is promotion of the year. Like, I think we're all going to agree on this one. They've, like I say, the output in the company, match quality-wise, has been arguably the greatest year in wrestling ever. It's certainly up there. It's been ridiculous. The consistency of classic matches they've been getting. We spoke a little bit there about how they're top stars. They are top stars. They are big money-drawing stars, and they've, you know, built these feuds really smartly throughout the year. You know, they could potentially have an even better 2018 with what's set up for Wrestle Kingdom and the way they've built to Naito and Okada for the last 2 years or so. It's been a long time in the making. That's something that can't be underestimated, of how patient they are as a company in terms of setting up those big matches. In terms of its expansion into the US, they've run shows in the US, they've got a much bigger following stateside now. They just introduced the English-speaking YouTube channel, which was a good move and long overdue. And I think they're just going from strength to strength. They're the clear number two company now. I don't think anyone would dispute that anymore. And they're the hottest brand in the industry at the moment. So, yeah. And as we touched on there, the fact that a couple of years ago we were really worried about what was going to happen to them. They've just got better and better after two of their, well, like you say, three, four of their top stars left, which is kind of unheard of. Yeah. Well done. Well done, New Japan, basically.
Yeah. Alex Edwards, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, honourable mentions to All Japan, who've seen a really good year, and they've grown quite a lot this year, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them next year. I think DDT as well have had a good year, and they've launched their streaming service, which has been good to see, and it's nice to be able to watch that product more easily. Dragon Gate, actually, who we haven't mentioned yet, have had a good year as well. They've had some really good matches there. But yeah, just as Alex said, it has to be New Japan. Just to echo everything he said, basically, clear number two in the world now. Fantastic matches, fantastic booking. The growth they've seen has been just... it wouldn't have even been conceivable going back a couple of years. And I'm really interested to see what happens next year with them now. And I feel like I've said that every time. Every time we've done this, I've said, oh, I'm really interested to see what happens in New Japan next year. I wonder what they're going to do next. But I really am, because they seem to live up to it every time. So as Alex said, they've now launched their English YouTube channel, which will go a long way to helping to build that fan base in the US and Europe and across the sort of English-speaking world, now that we can actually understand what all these promos mean. because if you think of it like that, up to this point, this whole thing's been built on the quality of their matches, and a lot of the English-speaking audience is only looking at the matches because they can't understand the promos. Yeah. But now with this, you get the whole package, because you've got the subtitles there, which a lot of people have been asking for. You've got your English commentary, you've got your subtitled promos, you've got your fantastic matches. It's just, they've got everything there now to really build a huge brand outside of Japan. And so, yeah, I'm just wondering what it's going to be by this time next year. What are we going to be talking about then? What would they have done then?
It's going to be very, very interesting indeed. My promotion of the year has to be New Japan Pro Wrestling again. I can't disagree with that. It's just been so good this year. The depth, the quality, from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. Even guys like, you know, Yuji Nagata had a cracking G1 Climax tournament. His last one, and he laid it all on the line. Tenkozy had a renaissance year as a tag team. They had a really good run, as a one-month run, shall we say, as IWGP Tag Team Champions at the beginning of the year. But they've done really cracking stuff since. They've helped bring on the young boys. That's their job. They're getting people over in the twilight of their careers. But from the beginning of the show to the end of the show, it's a total package of thoroughly entertaining and enjoyable wrestling that makes sense, that it's simple, that it was easy to understand. You can understand these issues that these people are having with another. Now you've got the translations in place, imagine what it's going to be like.
And that's another point there, actually, you mentioned with the young boys, is I didn't even think, but I think New Japan also has sort of the best dojo out of anywhere at the moment, because that class of young boys around at the moment are just, they're fantastic. And so, yeah, right from the top of the card with Eurocarder, Omega, Naito, right down to the bottom with your Kitamura and whoever else, it's just good across the board.
We haven't even mentioned guys like Elgin and Tanahashi and Suzuki, and like their upper mid card is like some of the best wrestlers have ever lived.
Yeah.
And their lower mid card is some of the best wrestlers who've ever lived, along with their openers, who features some of the best wrestlers who've ever lived. You know, it's just something else. Right then, comeback of the year. Now, Alex W had a bit of a problem with this one. We was talking off air about it. Have you thought of one now, or shall I go with mine first?
You go first. I've got a couple of ideas. It's just, yeah, I feel like this year hasn't... it's been more about guys and girls doing like their last runs and retiring, things like that, more than it feels like there's been big comebacks. But yeah, let's see what you say first.
Well, I've got two. One is probably more genuine than the other one. The first one is Minoru Suzuki and Suzuki Gun coming back to New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I think largely has been a success. People were disappointed he didn't win the championship first thing off the bat, but did we all really expect he would, looking back on it? My other one is slightly more controversial, which is Katsuyori Shibata at the G1 Climax Finals, which was a comeback I never wanted to see, because in one sense, I was so happy to see him, to see that he was fit and well, that he could stand and walk and take bumps, but equally, I don't think he should have been doing the moves in the first place that put him in hospital and put him out of wrestling. You know, to me, to an extent, yes, this strong style, this is wrestling snug, but he was taking things. And it's understandable. It's a pressure cooker. It's like, this is what Omega did last month. This is what Suzuki did the next month. Now you have your turn. How are you going to top those two? And I can understand, especially with the style, which is much more mat-based. It's not as exciting as, say, Kenny Omega's style. Or it's not as psychological as Minoru Suzuki's style. So you have to do something to get pay attention. But equally, I don't think he should have been doing what he did. And clearly, his doctors don't think he should have been doing what he did. So, for me, it's bittersweet. I would like to give it to Katsuyori Shibata for just being strong enough to make it back to a wrestling ring, and I think that's an important psychological step for him. But I have to give it to Minoru Suzuki for the work that he's done in Suzuki Gun, especially with the NEVER Openweight Championship this year. Alex, what then? What do you think of this particular one?
I think Shibata is a great shout, because that is a comeback, even though it wasn't an in-ring comeback. Well, it was an in-ring comeback, but you know what I mean. It wasn't a wrestling comeback, but it's, yeah, that was a big emotional moment. I think that's a good shout. The one I thought of was Yuji Nagata in the G1, which maybe is cheating a little bit, but I think that was a comeback of sorts in terms of everyone knew, you know, it was going to be his last, G1, and I think whereas it with Jushin Liger, I think, you know, he had a good Super Juniors with it being his last one, but this stood out that Nagata was one of the best guys in it this year. Yeah. Like, he was having great matches every night, and it really felt like he was rolling back the years and giving everything he had for one last run. And obviously, when he finally got that big win on the penultimate night, well, his second to last match anyway, was the reaction was unbelievable. And yeah, his final night, the response from the audience and the emotion and everything like that, I think, it was just a great moment throughout, and it wasn't just a nostalgia thing. You know, he was having great matches with all these younger guys, so I think that was sort of my best shout for comeback of the year, I think.
Alex Edwards, what do you think?
I have one word for this award. Daryl.
Yay!
He literally came back from the dead.
All right, yeah, you can't. Touché. Can't argue with that.
I can't believe I didn't think of that one.
No, but of course, no. So as much as I would like to give it to Daryl, unfortunately, I'm not going to. Actually, James, you took exactly what I was going to say. Honourable mention to Shibata for the return at the G1, but obviously, I wish it hadn't been a comeback. I wish it would have been him walking out for the finals of the G1 instead.
Yeah.
But no, I'm giving it to Minoru Suzuki. I think at the start of the year, the Suzuki-gun return was, I don't know, it seemed a little bit lackluster. It seemed like they didn't really have a great idea for what to do with them at the start. They were just sort of, right, yeah, we've got this new heel, well, not new, we've got this old heel group back, and they're taking over again, and they're just going to beat people up. And it's like, okay, cool, now what? Oh, no, that's it. They're just going to do that for a few months. That's all we've got. But then as the year's gone on, I think just having Suzuki back in the company has been great, especially seeing him through the G1 and the matches he had with just about everyone, especially his match with Yano. It's just good to have him back in the company. I missed him when he was away, and glad to see him again. So, yeah, Minoru Suzuki and Suzuki-gun for comeback of the year.
Okay, then, moment of the year. I'll go first on this one, because I haven't gone first on any of these today, so my moment of the year, there's plenty to pick from. I personally like Kazuchika Okada and Minoru Suzuki in the G1 climax when Suzuki denied Okada a place in the final. I thought that was a really well-told story, and it was an awesome negative moment, if you see what I mean. Kenny Omega winning the US Championship, that was fantastic to watch as well. And certainly, you know, you don't see Bullet Club as true faces as a lot of the time, and it was nice to see them get their props, as it were. But my moment of the year has to go to Manami Toyota and watching her wrestle her final matches on the busiest wrestling card I've ever seen of 1 minute matches. There's about 50 of them. So Manami Toyota, greatest wrestler that ever lived. That's my moment of the year. Alex Edwards, what's your thoughts?
So I've got a couple of honorable mentions first. First one is Chris Jericho being revealed as Omega's opponent for Wrestle Kingdom. I think I don't think anyone could have imagined that a thing ever. And so, just from that standpoint, just from the sheer just shock of it, I've got to mention that. I think we already spoke about Nagata's final G1 match against Bad Luck Fale, and just the emotion throughout that match and the reaction for Nagata afterwards. It was just. I was on Twitter at the time during that match, and just everyone just was losing their minds over it. Everyone was in tears. Just this legend coming out to have his last match in this tournament. Also, a moment from... I'm blanking on it now of which one of the three it was, but in one of the Okada Omega matches, there was a moment where Okada went for the Rainmaker, but Omega was so exhausted that he just collapsed and avoided the Rainmaker like that.
That was the hour-long draw.
Yeah. And so, yeah, just... That just... creativity in a spot, it's just great storytelling, and it was just... I jumped out of my seat when it happened.
Yeah.
But the one I'm going to go for, even though we've already mentioned it's a bit of a bittersweet one, but Shibata's return at the G1 finals, just because all of the news leading up to that, we were just hearing every couple of weeks about how bad condition he was in, how he was like blind in one eye, how he was having trouble speaking, how he was having trouble moving at all. And then just that moment when his music hit, those first couple of notes of his music, and the whole crowd just goes silent, like, wait, what's happening? And as the song builds up, everyone just, and he walks out, everyone just loses their mind. They can't believe he's there. And just seeing him be able to walk to the ring, he even took a bump, which questionable, but he did it. And just the smile on his face as he sat in the middle of the ring, looking around at the crowd, just going crazy for him, was really just nice to see.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, bit of a bittersweet one, but I feel like, yeah, moment of the year with Shibata returning.
Alex, what's your thoughts on your moment of the year?
Yeah, well, we've mentioned a lot of my honourable mentions, so I'll blast through them quickly. Manami Toyota's retirement show, Omega winning the US title in America, Nagata's last G1, Shibata returning, Jericho on debuting on that video that he's going to face Omega, which is still nuts and is the talk of the industry. Any number of moments from Okada Omega. I had written down that great spot from the second one that Alex mentioned, where he, Omega exhausted, collapses and avoids the Rainmaker. Also the table spot from the first one, which was insane. the first time I saw it. In terms of the second one as well, I remember just the fact they went an hour, like my kind of about 45 minutes in when I realised they're going to go the distance here, aren't they? Like, this is nuts because of the pace they kept throughout it. I didn't see that coming at all. Also, Omega finally getting the win in the third match was a big moment. A slightly sillier one. We've mentioned Daryl loads. Loads of great moments with Daryl this year, which has been one of the most over things in New Japan, has been a stuffed cat, which is a... quite testament to Hiromu Takahashi, I think, and his creativity. But my moment of the year is Tetsuya Naito winning the G1, because I think that was the culmination of a very long, well-told storyline. They had him and Omega had an unbelievable final match as well, which stood up to the Okada Omega trilogy, which was no mean feat. And they topped their match from last year, which was my match of the year then, again, which was no easy job for them. Just seeing him finally, that was like his full acceptance after the fact that he obviously won it a few years back as a babyface and was supposed to be the top next top guy, and it didn't work. And now, as having changed his character and become this new Naito, and for him to be basically the most over guy in the company, winning the biggest tournament in wrestling, was an unbelievable moment. Also, the fist bump with Chono as well made it even better a moment, which was so cool.
Ah, Chono-san. Right then. Mm. The Akira Hokuto Tough Old So-and-So Award, which we give each year to the people that we think have put in the most effort and laid the most on the line. Now I'm going to give my award this year. I had two kind of nominations for this award. My first nomination would be Kazuchika Okada for the work that he's put in this year. And he has not been, a lot of it's been kayfabe injury, but he cannot be feeling very well after what he's done in the last 18 months. And the other one, as is the perennial contender for this award, is the Stone Pitbull, Tomohiro Ishii, who has had a cracking year. And we don't mention him very often because, again, he's not one of those guys who's going to win the championship. He's going to be the guy that's going to go 45 minutes, give it his all, and walk away without the belt. But he is going to do and there's some amazing things. His matches with Kenny Omega this year were just off the page good. He's done some incredible things that I just can't list. Every match he's been in has been fantastic. His comedy tag team with Yano at the beginning of the year, all the way through to going through to the final against Kenny Omega for the US Championship. His single match with Kenny Omega in the run-up to his defense against Okada. It's just been absolutely fantastic. He's had a great year, as he always does. He's never going to win the championship, I don't think, unless they need somebody really badly to win the championship. But he's going to be the man. For me, I love Tomohiro Ishii, and God willing, he will have another great year next year. Mr. Watt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Ishii was obviously one of my honourable mentions. We mention him every year, and it's funny, we barely mentioned him during this podcast, despite the fact that he has had another amazing year. And his run, like you say, the matches he had with Omega, the run he had in the G1, he was arguably MVP in the G1 again for consistency. He's just an incredible wrestler, and he does get sort of forgotten beneath kind of the top three or four guys, which is a shame. Tanahashi can have a shout as well, I think, for basically having a bicep injury for half of the year, it feels like, and still putting out ridiculous classic matches like he does every year. And again, he had a great G1 and had that great feud with Naito this year, we've already mentioned. Yuji Nagata, I've mentioned, Jushin Liger, you know, both having good runs in the Super Juniors and the G1. I'm going to give the award, though, partly because it's named after Akira Hokuto, and I can't resist doing this, is to give it to Manami Toyota for having a great final year, basically, and retiring as probably the greatest wrestler ever and still putting out great matches this year. Yeah, I just couldn't resist giving an Akira Hokuto named award to Manami Toyota, to be honest.
Alex Edwards, your thoughts?
Yep, so you mentioned Okada, you mentioned Ishii. I think both those guys have had great years and have put on some fantastic matches. And you can see with Ishii, as you said, the level of effort that goes into everything he does. I'm thinking, even down to like little spots, like you mentioned the match with him and Omega for the US title, the bit where Omega was trying to German suplex into the outside and Ishii was holding onto the top rope with his teeth to stop the move happening.
Oh yeah.
And it's just little things like that that he does so well, and he's believable as that tough guy that's not going to give up. You're going to have to really beat him down to beat him. But for me, this goes to Yuji Nagata for his run in G1. It was his final tournament. He put his all into every single match, and he had some fantastic matches throughout. He was one of the one of the people in that tournament that I was always excited to watch his match and to see what he was going to do. And he delivered every time. He had some really good matches. He had a good match with Ishii. He had a good match with Ibushi, with Tanahashi. Even his match with Fale was really good. And so, yeah, I'm giving this to Yuji Nagata for his final G1 run.
Excellent. One other mention I forgot to mention for this particular award, one other honourable mention, is Joe Deering. Because a year ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. And in October, he won his second Triple Crown. And doesn't get much tougher than that. So, AJPW's Joe Deering. He was another honourable mention. We don't talk too much about AJPW, and we probably will do more this year as we try.
Yeah, I get the feeling that next year is going to be the year we all start talking about it a bit more.
Yeah, and there's other things that have gone on that have been great this year as well, like Eddie Edwards finally winning the GHC Heavyweight Championship after 11 years as being an on-off regular for Noah. There's other bits and pieces we haven't mentioned because there's been so much good wrestling. And things have got lost in the shuffle because the top end has been just that good. So that's our Asian Awards for 2017. Well, for now, though, I'd like to thank my guest for today, Mr. Alex Edwards, who you can find on Twitter at Alex_Edwards_.
You've got it. Yep, thanks for having me back. hopefully there's a lot more regularly from now on.
I hope so too. And also Mr. Alex Watt, who's Mr. Alex Watt, sorry, at AlexWatt187 on Twitter. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, tried to give me a new Twitter handle there. Maybe I should change it to Mr. Alex Watt.
Cheers for having me.
No. That's the one.
Yeah.
It's not great. Needs improvement. Should we say thanks to New Japan as well for an unbelievable year?
Yes.
just before I go.
Yes. Thanks to all Japanese wrestling companies who keep us entertained and with content to talk about every week. I'd also like to thank WrestleTalk TV, who have been our home for the last 3 or 4 years for the Troopenny show, and I've been writing for them since 2014. And I no longer have anything to do with the company, but I want to thank Alex Shane, I want to thank Ollie Davis, Ben Spindler, and the rest of the WrestleTalk crew who've looked after me, found me, helped me have a pro wrestling writing career, which means I get to write for Total Wrestling and for FSM, and interview incredible wrestlers all around the world. I got to interview Gail Kim this year. How cool is that? Thank you very much for everything you've done for us, guys, and we will miss you. We'll still say hello from time to time. But thank you for giving us everything that we have in the Troopenny show. And now it is onward and upward. So find us on Patreon and we will try and keep the show free forever. Take care and we'll be back next week. Bye.